Good morning. This is our study in the book of Hebrews in God's Word. And our study today is lesson number 6. And we are studying chapters 8 through 10. We won't go into a lot of details in 10, but it ties in with all that we are studying about the tabernacle. That's what our study is about the tabernacle. So let us begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you again for the privilege to come before you and study your word. And again, we ask you to teach us through your Holy Spirit. And I pray as we listen, as we read, as we learn through the Holy Spirit, that we will take it into the world and scatter it throughout among those that are living in darkness, that they may come to know you and know your truths by your word, Father. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, as we always do, we like to refer back to what we have studied previously. And we know in our study, in the book of Hebrews, that it was a letter written to Jews, to Hebrews, believers in Jesus that had come to know the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And they were going through a lot of trials and some persecution. And some had been so discouraged that they had turned from their faith. And so the Hebrew writer, he wants to encourage them. He wants to give them words of exhortation that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. And it's an exhortation for them and us to hold fast the confession of Jesus as Messiah until the very end. And he said to them in the exhortation that they were to hold fast. They were to hold on and not harden their hearts. So it was all an exhortation, and it was also some warnings in this. So looking at what we have studied, I'm going to look, I want to say or tell what the chapters, what they're about. So Hebrews 1 through 4, chapter 1 through 4, we learn that God spoke in his Son that was better or superior than angels. And they were told to listen to him. And if they hear his voice, don't harden their hearts in unbelief. And then in chapter 5 through 10, 18, we learn that Jesus is the Son of God, and he is a great high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, and they were encouraged to press on to maturity. Better priest, a better covenant, tabernacle, sacrifice, and offerings, and they would be able, if they held on, to be saved forever. And then the last part of our study, which will be the third part of study, we'll be studying Hebrews 10:19 through 13:25. And this study is general, and it's a specific exhortation for them and for us to draw near in confidence by living in faith. Now, today's study is about the tabernacle. And in this study, we want to look at the old tabernacle that was in the Old Testament days, and then we're going to look at the new tabernacle, which is today. So Hebrews 8, 1 through 5, and 9, 1 through 5, tell about the tabernacle, the true one in heaven that's pitched by God and not by man. Moses erected the earthly tabernacle according to the pattern that God gave him on Mount Sinai. It was a copy or a shadow of the heavenly one, the heavenly tabernacle. So let's read Hebrews 8, 1 through 5. I'll read that quickly. Now, the main point in what has been said is this. We have a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. So it is necessary that the high priest also have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, this is referring to Jesus, he would not be a priest at all, since there are those who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For, see, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. Now, let's look at chapter 9, 1 through 5. Now, this is the first verse of 9. Now, even the first covenant had regulations of divine and worship and earthly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one, in which were the lampstand and the table and the sacred bread, and this is called the holy place. And behind the second veil, there was a tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna and Aaron's rod which budded, and the tables of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. But of these things we cannot now speak in detail. So, we want to look now of where the idea of a tabernacle came from, and where did the materials come from. And we need to go to Exodus. If you'll turn your Bibles into Exodus 25, verses 1 through 9, and we'll read those verses. Starting with verse 1 of 25 of Exodus. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering, for from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skin dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing of oil for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all of its furnishings, just so you shall make it. So this is where the Lord told Moses to construct a sanctuary or tabernacle for him, for God, to live among his people. And Moses took a contribution of their offerings from the people for the materials of the tabernacle and its furniture. So we want to look now, kind of in our minds, draw a picture of the tabernacle. So I'm going to give all the things that are in the tabernacle. If you want to take a sheet of paper and draw this out so that you can refer back to it, that'll be good. But we're going to start kind of and do an outline. And first of all, you need to know that he told them to make it by certain dimensions, and he used the word cubits. And a cubit is about 18 inches. It's more than a foot in our measurements. So the first thing was the outer court. It had one entrance for the people, the gate, and it was always facing the east side. And the thing, as you enter in, there is a bronze altar. And as you came in, that bronze altar was for sacrifices. And it was approximately 4.5 feet high. And there also was a bronze laver, a basin. And the priests washed from the water in this basin. They had to be cleansed before they could offer sacrifices. And next, that was your outer court. And the next entrance would be the holy place. And this was covered by the tent. And both the holy place and the Holy of Holies were in the tent. That tent that God had given Moses instruction to make and how to make it. So, there was only one door leading from the court into the tent. And the priest entered daily to perform their duties. All the priests, we know, we studied in our previous studies that Aaron and his sons were of the tribe of Levi, and they were chosen to be the priest. So they would enter into this holy place daily to perform their duties. And in the holy place was a table. And the table was on the north side of the tabernacle. And this table was about 27 inches high, 18 inches wide, and 3 feet long. God told Moses exactly how to prepare and make everything. And the priest would put 12 loaves of bread on the table every Sabbath. And they ate the old bread. They always, on the Sabbath, would bring new, and then the priests were given the old bread. And there was also in this holy place, a lampstand. And this light for the inside of the tabernacle was on the opposite side of the table. And it was pure gold, and the table and altar of incense were gold-covered wood. And the priest kept the oil in the seven lamps on the stand burning day and night. And then there was an altar of incense. And this gold altar stood right in front of the veil that separated the Holy of Holies. And it was about 3 feet high. And the priest would burn special incense on it twice a day. Now, there was a veil, and this was the way into the Holy of Holies. It separated the holy place from the Holies of Holies. In Hebrews 9:3, the scripture calls the second veil, as the door was more like a veil than an actual door. And only the high priest could go behind the veil once a year on the Day of Atonement. Now let's look into the Holy of Holies. That is, as you pass through the holy place, you will have to pass through the Holy of Holies. And the scripture gives the measurements that it was a cube which measured 10 by 10 by 10 cubits, 15 feet. And the only thing in this part of the tent of meeting, was the Ark of the Covenant that contained the two tables of the Old Covenant, the Law. And the Ark was about 45 inches long, 25 inches wide, and 27 inches high. Covering the ark was a mercy seat on which were two gold cherubim. God's cloud rested or moved from above the mercy seat between the cherubim. Now, this holy place had the presence of God. That was the only place. And we know that only the high priest was allowed to go in to the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement. And he had to go in and take blood and place on the altar as a sacrifice for his sins first and then for the sins of the people. Now then, we have seen this tabernacle in the Old Testament and how that everything was given and set up by God himself. He told Moses how to prepare everything, all the measurements and everything they needed. Now then, that is the old covenant. That is the old tabernacle. So now we want to look at Jesus being the new. Hebrews 8:5 says, these things served as a copy and a shadow of heavenly things. Reading Hebrews 8:5, who serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle, saying, see, he says, God says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. So see, God had given a pattern. And now we want to look at this and see how that this tabernacle is a shadow of heavenly things. It's a shadow of Jesus. So Let's walk through the tabernacle again, and we want to compare everything that we have just studied in the Old Testament under the old law, compare it with Jesus. First of all, we see the bronze altar. So we know that Jesus was the sacrifice for our sins. They had to take animals in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant and sacrifice, and the animals would shed their blood and they would take the blood. But Jesus was the sacrifice for our sins. He was placed on the altar or the cross for our sins. Now look at the bronze laver. Believers, you know, the bronze laver carried the water that the priest would cleanse themselves. But today, as believers in Jesus, we are cleansed, we are sanctified by the washing of water with God's word. We are cleansed then by God's word. It washes us, it cleanses us, it takes away our sins. Now, the door to the tabernacle. We go to John 10, verse 9, and Jesus said, "I am the door. Enter through him alone for salvation. Those that know me will enter through this door." As you read the whole chapter of John, you see that he is the door and that he is the good shepherd. Now look at the bread. Jesus also said in John, "I am the bread of life." Jesus is eternal life of salvation. The bread that they ate there in the tabernacle, the priest, it was to be eaten. They had to replace it every Sabbath. But when you eat of Jesus' bread, he is the bread of life, eternal salvation. The lampstand. Jesus also said in John 8:12 and 9:5, "I am the light of the world." Jesus himself is the light of the world. So remember, we're looking at the new tabernacle, and Jesus is that tabernacle. He is the light of men, and he gives enlightenment to salvation. And then next, we look at the altar of incense. You compare the fragrance of incense before the Lord with Hebrews 7:25, and I want to read 7:25, and I'll go there quickly and read 7:25. "Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." So here we are comparing this fragrant incense that is Jesus himself, and that we come to the Father through him. And then he is the light of men, and he has give enlightenment for salvation to all who believe. Then looking at the altar, then looking at the veil. Next we see that veil in the Old Testament tabernacle that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. In Hebrews 10:20, and let me read that. From, and you can turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 10:20, And the scripture says, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. The way then that believers come into God's presence is through Jesus' flesh. This veil that we're looking at in the new tabernacle is Jesus, is through his flesh. Jesus' death and resurrection made the way for us to come to God, to draw near to him before his throne of grace. And the next thing that we see in the tabernacle is the ark and the mercy seat. The presence of God was above the ark. We talked about that early. That's where in the tabernacle in the Old Testament, Jesus' presence was. And Jesus is God. And we learn that in Hebrews 1. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, of God's glory, and the express image of God's person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So we see here in God's word that Jesus, it tells that he was the very image, who being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. So, Jesus is God. He is at God's throne in heaven, drawing people to him through salvation. And he paid the price for our sins. His blood offers forgiveness and mercy to all who will believe. Now I want us to look at Hebrews 9, 1 through 10, chapter 10, 18, so we can get a big picture now. So going back, let me read, that'll explain a lot of what we have been discussing today. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 1. Now, even the first covenant had regulations of divine worship and the earthly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one, in which were the lampstand and the table and the sacred bread. And this is called the holy place. See, this is what we've been talking about. And then in verse 3, behold, the second veil, there was a tabernacle, which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant, covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna and Aaron's rod, which budded, and the tables of the covenant. And above it were the cherubims of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. But of all these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now, when these things have been so prepared, the priests are continually entering the outer tabernacle, performing the divine worship. But into the second, only the high priest enters once a year, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. Verse 8, the Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way into the holy place has not yet been disclosed, while the outer tabernacle is still standing, which is a symbol of the present time. Accordingly, both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make the worshiper perfect in confidence, since they relate only to food and drink and various washings, regulation for the body imposed until a time of reformation. But when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things to come, he, Christ, entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Verse 15, for this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead, for it is never in force while the one who made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you. And in the same way he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with blood. And according to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Verse 24, for Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifest to put away sin by sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation with reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. Now, going into chapter 10, verse 1 through 18, this continues to tell us about the sacrifice and about what we have been studying. And I'm not going to read that today, but you may continue that because we will be studying it later. And this is a continuation of the teaching of the new covenant being better than the old, and the tabernacle and the offerings and the sacrifice, redemption and sanctification and cleansing and the priest and forgiveness. So all part, the old and the new covenants, it's all about true salvation. So we will close out our study today in prayer. And next week, we're going to be still in chapter 9. And we will be asking the question, do you have a conscience? Are you free from the guilt of sin? Let us close in prayer. Father, I do pray that the Holy Spirit has taught us as we studied how precious it is that Jesus came. Father, and men do not make sacrifice anymore with the blood of animals, because Jesus, being perfect without sin, went to the Father. He went to the cross, and God raised him from death. He gave all his blood to cover our sins. And I pray, Father, as we do this study, that we can see what a great salvation we have, of what Jesus did for us, Father, and how that God made in his plan to come to this earth in the flesh, in his Son, and to live and walk among men, and to know and suffer the same things that we suffer, and to be tempted as we're tempted, but that he was willing, Father, to take all of our sins upon himself and be the sacrifice and shed his blood. Oh, Father, we just can't even begin to fathom of what a great sacrifice that he has made for us. But we're looking to your word to teach us and guide us, that we may share it with others, that many will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.